This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Thumbtack presents the ins and outs of caring for your home. Out. Indecision. Overthinking. Second-guessing every choice you make. In. Plans and guides that make it easy to get home projects done. Out. Beige on beige on beige. Ugh. In, knowing what to do, when to do it, and who to hire. Start caring for your home with confidence. Download Thumbtack today.
Hey there, I'm Kendra Adachi, and my show, The Lazy Genius Podcast, helps you be a genius about the things that matter and lazy about the things that don't, and you get to decide what matters. I'm not here to tell you what to do. I'm here to give you a new way to see. Episodes of the Lazy Genius Podcast are full of compassionate time management tips and permission slips to do what makes sense for you. New episodes drop every Monday. Follow and listen to the Lazy Genius Podcast on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hour three of the show today. We are on now from 9 until noon every day on 104.1 FM KMOX. At 12 o'clock these days, it is the Gas House Gang.
Oh, I was going to say the gas yard.
It's not the gas yard. It is the Gas House Gang talking sports. I'll have Tom Ackerman with me today. We will be joined by, we were supposed to visit with Jim Montgomery,
maybe,
the coach of the Blues, but there's it's going to be difficult because of practice. So we will be talking to Doug Armstrong today at 12:15. We also have Amy, Tom Pagnozzi, former Cardinals
my first
catcher.
Favorite player. My first Cardinal memory, Tom Pagnozzi, because he has such a great name, and he's a catcher, so he's always on the screen. Hey, we talked earlier today about sending a text to the wrong person, or
Amy, before
person.
We move on to this,
oh my gosh.
I feel like we jumped too quickly. Gas House Gang, you can watch on YouTube. And
everybody knows that.
Well, I
knew that. Everybody listening
knew that.
Yeah,
you work
that.
Here. You have to know that. But well, we should remind people you can watch on YouTube and Facebook and on Twitter at KMOX Sports. We are there for you. And, of course, 104.1 FM. And now, Amy, you may continue.
Anyway, we were talking about sending a text to the wrong person or including someone in a group. We did get a text from someone who said he got a picture of a friend's wife in some suggestive clothing.
What?
Yeah. And he goes, I'm like pretty sure it was a total mistake. So he never brought it up. It never happened.
Did she send it to him?
The text doesn't clarify.
Dude.
It just said it got a picture and it like was he believes it was a mistake. And so he didn't say anything,
so it was
and no one said anything.
A friend's
anything.
Wife.
Yes.
So she sent him a nudie?
I don't know if she...
I would like to think...
No, it said suggestive clothing.
Okay, well, I would like to think that she didn't accidentally send it to him.
To some, a blazer is suggestive. To others...
Maybe she sent it with a question, interested?
Maybe it was suggestive clothing, like it was like a tennis outfit. Like, do you want to play tennis?
Do you think that's suggestive?
It's suggestive of a tennis game, perhaps.
I don't think that's what he's talking about.
But that would be... Yeah,
that
makes
worse?
Me feel sick to my stomach. Like, I cannot even imagine. So I don't know if she meant to send it to... It doesn't say who it's from. There is not a lot of detail for understandable reasons in this text. But I don't know if she meant to send it to her husband and accidentally sent it to his best friend.
Is that worse than sending the text message just confirmed with CENTCOM, we are go for mission launch with F-18 bombs falling all around? Is that better than accidentally sending that to a reporter?
I bet to everyone except for the woman.
Dude.
For at least one person, the suggestive outfit is worse. You can't send a suggested outfit to your husband's
friend. Did it on accident, everybody's incompetent. Everybody is incompetent here. She is incompetent. Apparently, the Department of Defense is incompetent. So
we do want to hear about your incompetence. If you accidentally included someone or were included, you can send us a text, 314-436-7900, or you can leave us a voice message on the Odyssey app.
Early days of emails, I worked for a large media company in Des Moines, Iowa. We had probably about 400 people in the building, and one of the very top-ranking officers in the company sent out an email to what I assume was supposed to be his management team, a very critical and scathing message that accidentally went out to all 400 people. That alone probably set back email use in our company by a couple of years. Everybody learned to be more careful. The other thing I'm curious about, Ron, in your data about beards, are you safe to keep necking with the bearded ladies that you go out with? Thanks, guys.
I would like to say that I require all of them to shave first.
Oh, that's nice.
Yeah.
That's
just my personal preference.
Hey, I forgot about sending and hitting click accidentally.
That was Tulane Rambler.
Thank you, Tulane Rambler.
Sent a message in.
In 2019, the St. Louis Post-Dispatch released on all of their socials, this was before Game 7 of the Stanley Cup Final. Before Game 7 in 2019 of the Stanley Cup Final, the St. Louis Post-Dispatch accidentally published, I think it was Doug Armstrong or Tom Stillman's "We're So Glad We Won the Cup" letter. Basically, if we are to win, here's what I wrote. You're going to publish it immediately. And they published this whole thing about "We're so glad the Blues won the cup." The St. Louis Post-Dispatch had to retract all of it. Very, very apologetic. But then Tom Timmerman, being the great sports reporter that he is, after the Blues won Game 7 in the Garden, he tweeted out, "The St. Louis Blues have won the Stanley Cup as first reported by the St. Louis Post-Dispatch."
Pretty good.
That's pretty good.
You got to have a sense of humor about it if you screw up
good.
In a big way.
That was such a good way. I mean, I love it. I love it. As first reported by the Post-Dispatch. Because people are not only mad at them because it's unprofessional, but it looks like a jinx. You can't publish the team's owner congratulating the city on winning the cup before they won the cup.
Text message to 314-436-7900. "My wife and I are in charge of our church youth group. I sent our pastor of our church a text on accident, which was intended for my wife, and the text was to tell my wife that our pastor is a know-it-all and you can't tell him anything." Dude. So great.
You know what, though? You got to take it as like maybe karma. You know what I mean? Not for the sender, but maybe that pastor had it coming.
Oh, man. Well, yeah, maybe he does suck. Maybe the pastor sucks.
You need humility to lead a church, and there's a lot of people out there who aren't leading with humility. So maybe that was the only way to get the message to him.
My God, that's so good. God, this guy's such a know-it-all. I hate him. Oh, oops.
Because I
sent it to him.
I do think with texts or with, especially texts or emails, but if you are thinking of a person because you're saying something unsavory about them, sometimes you accidentally type their name into
I have stopped myself. Amy, I have done it probably a couple dozen times in my life where I have almost, because I'm thinking of the person, and I'm about to send a message to somebody else talking crap about that person, but I put them on the text instead, and then I realize what I'm doing, and I go, whoa. That has happened, probably 24 times.
Yeah. Well,
that's scary.
Do you have iMessage on your MacBook?
There's iMessage,
so when I text, I can text from my MacBook, but it looks like my phone. Mm-hmm. The thing is, for whatever reason, it's probably because my MacBook needs to be updated, but there are no names. There are only numbers. And you start to recognize some of the numbers, but maybe the first three digits of that number. But whenever I text through my MacBook, it's a real game of roulette because I'm like, oh, yeah, I'm pretty sure this is that guy.
That's not good.
Someone else. I know. Like, I can show you, but it's all numbers. And also, if it's a text of 4, 5, or 6 people, you can only see the first number and then the very beginning of the next number. So those subgroups we were talking about, how there's the main group, then there's the subgroup where you talk about everyone in the main group.
That's not good.
I cannot tell you. It's
this is why.
It's not good.
Don't use iPhone.
No, it's not iPhone. It's you have a MacBook. Don't act all high and mighty. You're not a true
boycotter. I don't use the messaging app.
You're not my brother's a true boycotter. My brother.
I like their Mac. I like
of anything Apple.
I like MacBooks, and I agree with your brother for the most part. But I do like MacBooks, and I do like iPads. But I will never get an iPhone.
That's such a weak boycott.
Never.
That's going like I'm going to boycott Bud Light, but I'm going to drink Bud Heavy. And Bush and Bush Light.
It isn't because when I send messages to you and you get the green bubble and you cry about the green bubble, I laugh and I laugh.
Your green bubble is one of the most.
Please cry about it. This
is one of the most off-putting things about you, and that is a very high bar.
You hate it, don't you?
Yeah.
Does it bother you?
So much. Although a little bit less now because you can edit green bubbles.
What do you mean?
It used to be that if you sent a message like with the blue bubbles, right? It's their iPhone to iPhone. You can hold it and hit edit if you misspell or voice to text, which might be the worst thing ever invented. And you couldn't edit with the green bubble, but now you can. So that's because I do voice to text a lot because I'm so tired of texting. I swipe to text. It's faster. I'm just still so tired of texting. I feel like I have 1,000 a day. So I'll do voice to text. And boy, oh boy, is it not good.
See,
it is pretty bad.
Well, and here's what I know. Apple does this iPhone green bubble thing on purpose so that you iPhone sheep you're all sheep. You will try to pressure your friends to get an iPhone.
Yes. Let's get an iPhone. So
bully.
See the green bubble.
Pressure. I bully.
Yeah. Okay. Well, screw you. I'm not doing anything.
You're a green bubble doofus. That's right. Bullying.
Great. Enjoy the green bubble, you jerk. The words look the same. You can read, can't you? You're fine.
There's an analogy for what you are right now, but I can't think of it.
Awesome. That's not an analogy. That's an adjective. And it's true. I am never getting an iPhone. And all of you
Mark
people
his
who
words.
Complain
never,
about it.
Never, ever use absolutes.
Straight
which
to
I
hell.
Just did.
All of you. With your iPhones.
Oh my gosh. Someone sent us an email that said Amy Markers is an idiot. And it said, Amy, if you think CEOs care about their employees, that's not a Christian attitude. And you can go straight to hell. That was the message
love
I got.
Love it.
We printed it out.
I love it. That's Amy Markscores. I'm Chris Ranji. This is 104.1 FM KMOX.
Chris Ranji, Amy Markscores with you. And now, Ranj, this happened a couple of days ago, but we didn't talk about it yet. And it's I think it is gaining traction as far as local St. Louis conversation goes. But Mayor Tashara Jones crashed a campaign event for mayoral candidate and alderwoman Kara Spencer. And Elliot Davis of Fox 2 did a lot of reporting on this, posting on this. And the pictures are really bizarre. It's a campaign event for Kara Spencer.
Yeah.
And Mayor Jones showed up with security and stood there and then also shook hands with people. And I found out about it a little bit later, a day later than it happened. I didn't find out right away when I just started seeing people talk about it. I saw the pictures started popping up. Of course, you immediately jumped to Reddit to see what all the locals are saying.
Who doesn't?
It's a really kind of a bizarre scene.
It's very weird.
Weird.
So the mayor, Jones, is in the background and standing there, arms folded, doesn't appear to be happy, wearing sunglasses. They are indoors. Granted, the looks like sliding garage doors are open, so there is a lot of light. I guess you would.
Well, you're talking about the sunglasses.
The sunglasses. Yeah, yeah, yeah. I guess you would need it. It's just a very weird thing to do. It looks like you're trying to intimidate your opponent.
Mm-hmm.
And then she began walking around the room and talking to people. Look,
and this was
it's an open to the public thing. She could do whatever she wants, But you would think you just wouldn't.
It was a meet and greet
right.
in Baden, which is in North St. Louis,
right.
for Kara Spencer. And you're right. It's not illegal. It just seems tacky
it's
and
weird.
Petty. It's weird.
I mean, maybe this is a thing that does happen. I've just never heard of it.
So,
I've never heard of it, of two political opponents, one of them holding a campaign event, a meet and greet, where you're walking around talking to people in town, and then the opponent shows up just to kind of be there. I've never heard of that.
Never heard of that. An alderwoman, Kara Spencer, did give, and mayoral candidate, it was her event, did give a statement to Elliot Davis. She said, over the last 10 years, I have run 5 campaigns, had about a dozen opponents. Never, not once, has one of these opponents crashed a meet and greet, a safe space for voters to meet and have a conversation with a candidate. I have never seen of or even heard of any candidate coming into an opponent's event with a team of people in any other races until yesterday. Last night, Tashara and her crew, including a city-paid security detail, crashed a meet-and-greet hosted for me in Baden. When informed this was an opportunity for residents to hear from me, she refused to leave and instead started walking around the seated crowd and introducing herself, eventually seating herself in one of the audience chairs. It was intimidating and insulting to the folks hosting. To me and my team, the lack of decorum was, frankly, shocking.
It's weird. It's super, super weird to do something like that.
It's disrespectful. And to me,
the intent has to be to intimidate. I think Spencer is right about that. There's no other reason to go there and do that. Because if you want to talk to the people of Baden, hold your own event later. You don't show up when your opponent is there to talk to people. I get you may not like your opponent. Maybe you think your opponent is misrepresenting you. That's why you then wait. Do your own damn event later. That is such a silly, silly thing to do, and it is totally off-putting.
I mean, to be any, if anything, it's embarrassing for her. I mean, she is the current mayor.
I think it's super embarrassing.
It's embarrassing, and it seems desperate. It seems petty. I don't know if she has a group of advisors because, okay, let's say you're freaking out because you realize I am the incumbent mayor and I'm falling behind. The polls are not great. The primary was awful. I'm seeing what people are saying. It's not great. What if I crashed Kara Spencer's event? Aren't there some advisors going, hey, I get that you're emotional, not emotional, but you're feeling pressure or whatever, not emotional like a lady emotional, just like that you're feeling whatever it is you're feeling because you're afraid you're going to lose the race. I get it. But this is not a good look. There is no way that you come out of this looking strong or looking anything but desperate or pathetic.
I don't see any other way to look at it. And I would imagine that they will try to spin it a different way, but there's no good way to spin this.
So,
and at least for me, there's no way to spin it and then have me say, oh, okay, that makes sense, because it doesn't make sense. Because again, and this is, for me, this is the bottom line. Mm-hmm. If you want to speak to the people of Baden, find a different time, hold your own event. You have plenty of time to do that. You don't have to show up to your opponent's event and try to be there as a fly in the ointment. I don't understand what the intent is other to be intimidating. It's really goofy.
Yeah, and looking at all the comments, Elliot Davis on his Facebook post has a gazillion comments, not surprising. And I'm trying to find a positive one, and I can't. I'm seeing words like desperate, terrible taste, it feels like bullying. People point out, you're right, it's not illegal. There's nothing illegal about
it.
But it's bad form, and it looks embarrassing.
Yeah.
It just looks embarrassing. Here's the thing. A mayoral race has real consequences, especially for a city of St. Louis at a time when we're getting this influx of generational money. We're trying to work on crime, so forth and so forth. We're losing residents. We want to build up the city. This is a consequential mayoral race. If, like, NPR had a meet and greet in Chesterfield, like, hey, come meet the host of NPR, and you and I showed up and, like, stood next to the stage and then walked around glad-handing people, it's not illegal, but it looks tacky. And that has way less consequence than a mayoral race.
Well, we wouldn't do that. We would challenge them to a fight.
Like a fisticuffs?
Hell yeah. pulling shirts over heads, hockey fight style, punching in the face. Yeah, that's what we would do.
It would be kind of fun.
Yeah. NPR, those losers.
They have a great vocabulary, though.
They really do.
I love the vocabulary of NPR.
Just such an odd thing to do.
I say divisive because of NPR.
I wouldn't pronounce it like that.
I like it, though.
That's what they
makes
do in
me
England.
Makes me sound pretentious.
Well, you don't need that. You don't need to say divisive to sound pretentious, Amy. What a goofy thing to do, man. And look, and this isn't to say that Kara Spencer will definitely be a better mayor if she wins the race April 8th. Maybe she won't. Maybe she won't be better than what Mayor Jones
has been. I think a lot of people
been.
Feel like she won't be worse.
Well, I mean, but it's not just about the sort of job you think they're going to do. I think the way you behave also matters. It matters how you carry yourself.
Yeah.
And this does not say anything about Mayor Jones in general about how she carries herself. Yeah. But this is one really bad example.
A lot of the comments are that it's tacky. It looks like bullying.
It doesn't help her.
No, it doesn't. One person said, this is so cringe. One of my favorites is a comment that just says, oh my goodness, she's right there.
I know. It's weird.
It's weird. She's just standing there with her arms crossed at a meet and greet.
I am very curious to see how April 8th is going to turn out. Michael Kelly, who does some work for, Democratic candidates, and he is associated with an organization that's working for the mayor. He thinks she is going to win. For Alderwoman Spencer. He does think she is going to win. He's a little more tied in.
Alderwoman Spencer?
Yes.
Yes.
I don't know. Maybe there is a surprise coming April 8th, but stuff like this cannot help the incumbent.
It's not a good look.
Amy Markscores and Chris Ranji, you are welcome to join the show. Tell us what you think with a voice message on the Odyssey app or the phone number, 314-436-7900. It is the Chris and Amy Show. Don't forget the Gas House Gang coming up at 12 here on 104.1 FM KMOX. I honestly thought it was Tuesday also. This week has been a lot of fun, but also it feels like an eternity somehow.
I did check the day multiple times before I gave the weather because I thought, I don't know what day it is.
Did it feel like Tuesday?
Feels like Tuesday.
Mm-hmm. Opening days tomorrow.
That's how I know it's Wednesday.
Kegs and eggs sold out. Sorry. You snoozed and you
lost.
So you don't get to come to that, but you can come to the first pitch breakfast still. The first pitch breakfast from 8 until 10:30. Vince Coleman and Tom Ackerman talking about the 1985 National League Championship team. And we are selling tickets for 5.5 hours.
You said it with a question mark. Championship team? Question mark?
5.5 hours you have to buy tickets at kmox.com/events. And really, you're purchasing tables. So tables for two are gone.
Yeah.
So there are still other tables that you could get. Make some friends. Bring them with you. Yeah. You get food. You get Budweiser. You get bottomless mimosas and Bloody Marys. And you get tickets for the game on Saturday. So great deal. KMOX is the promo code. Put it in. You get 20% off when you check out.
And we've been talking about...
Oh, and you get this mug, too. So if you're
really
watching us on the live stream, you get this 104.1 FM mug and first pitch breakfast. It's right here.
We've been talking about accidentally including someone in a text thread. And, I mean, who among us hasn't talked about bombing the Houthis with our friends and we accidentally include someone that we don't mean?
I haven't done that yet.
That's weird.
Yeah.
But
I had a question for Ron.
Matthew Bajeski, this guy... Squirming.
We should start calling him Squirm.
No.
Squirm.
What do you have? What do you need, Squirm?
Squirm McGee.
What's up, buddy?
So, being one of the two single guys in this room, Ron, I've got a question for you. So, we were talking about the texter who mistakenly sent some scandalous photos to her husband's friend.
No, he's the friend.
He's a friend.
He received scandalous photos of his best friend's wife.
Right.
Yeah. And we're assuming from her.
Yes.
Right?
Yes.
Okay. Yeah. So if you are the recipient of such messages, Do you respond? And if so, how do you respond?
Okay, I have to ask a couple of qualifying questions.
Just, okay, so you're hanging out at home and your phone, I got a message.
Yeah.
And you click on it. It is your best friend's wife in some sexy time outfits.
Do I like my best friend?
Yes, it's your best friend.
Is he kind of a jerk?
Probably if he's your best friend.
Is she hot?
Yeah.
Okay, she's hot. No. Is she?
Oh my gosh.
But is she insane? Like, can I trust her? Huh?
Don't play this game with him. He's being a real boob.
Okay,
about
here's what I would say. Here's what I would say.
Just it's your best
friend's
wife.
Is my best friend's wife? Whoa.
She might be the new
Freudian slip.
My best friend's wife. What do I say?
Yeah.
I would probably respond with, "Hello."
Yeah.
Like no, that. You wouldn't.
Actually, if I'm being honest.
Be honest. It's your real best friend.
I would say, yeah, he does suck. You want to come over? No, what I would say, I'd probably say nothing. I would probably act like I didn't get it, and I would never bring it up. And because I know it's an accident, because I don't think she's sending, unless there's been a conversation ahead of time, like, hey, you know, what do you do? You know, one of those, which hasn't happened. I'm pretty sure I would just let it go and pretend like I didn't see it.
Now, what if you wait like half an hour, you don't say anything, she responds with, well,
do I hate my best friend?
You say that best friend is Bob. You go, Bob is a lucky guy.
I'd say that's
Bob will love this.
Bob will love this. Bob is gonna love that.
Bob is gonna love this. Hey, do you want me to? Okay. Here's the thing. I know this is like a really foreign concept for you guys to think about. And I know there are women listening who get what I'm about to say, and that is, women have to walk this line all the time. It may not be a suggestive photo, but there can be a guy who is making an inappropriate advance, and you have to pretend like you don't get it, because you're thinking, if I tell this guy, hey, that's inappropriate, he's going to get all mad, and he could be someone that, you know, is like an authority position. He could be someone that could hurt my career. So I can't make him mad, but I also can't, you know, I'm not going to respond favorably to this guy because it's super inappropriate and wrong. So here's what I have to do. I have to somehow balance ignoring his inappropriate advances without hurting his fragile ego. And that line, you have to walk that line all the time as a woman where you have to, I play dumb. I just act like I don't get it. I mean, just play dumb, like, oh my gosh.
It's probably your best bet.
Dumb, but I didn't even make this connection until we have this conversation of like, how do I handle this situation? Because I'm guessing most women listening have been in that conversation where they get a text or someone says something and it's so inappropriate and you know what they're doing and you're thinking, well, I don't want retaliation if I shoot this guy down, but I also need to shut it down. And you have to like figure out how to do that delicately.
I can't help you with that.
But that's why I can help you with like, Bob is a lucky guy. Bob is going to love that.
Well, I think I would have thought of that without you.
I don't think you would.
Yeah, I don't need you. I don't need your help. Here's a
looks
message.
Like you do.
Here's a message to 314-436-7900. I sent a sexy text to who I thought was my wife, but it went to her dad, my father-in-law.
No!
But it's okay. He's a better kisser anyway. What are they doing out there in the 636? You can't be making out with your wife's dad. That's where I draw the line. Will not be making out with my wife's dad.
Yeah, but you don't want to send a sexy text to your wife's dad because your wife is his daughter.
If you just sent that text to us, and you're the person who sent the sexy text, I want to know how dad responded. Tell us how your father-in-law responded. Did you later follow up with, well? Awesome. You've got to be very careful.
I bet you kept that picture. You would keep that picture and then like sometime eventually at midnight, you'd be like, you up?
Yeah. Well, no. No, you never know when you're going to need a blackmail bit of evidence.
Oh my gosh, that's terrible. That's sextortion.
What? joking. Here's a message. Breaking news on KMOX at the top of the hour. NPR gives ass-kicking to Chris and Amy show.
That would be so embarrassing. If we got beat up by NPR.
If we got a fist fight with NPR and lost.
It would be so embarrassing.
Oh, my God.
That would be like losing to like Niles and Frasier from the show Frasier.
Absolutely.
And I say that as someone who wants to be Niles and Frasier. I love the whole vibe. I love the vocabulary of NPR. I love the way NPR reports on sporting events. It's like the St. Louis Cardinals, which is the baseball team in the Major League Baseball League for the city of St. Louis. Just like lots of explanation.
Another texter, and I'm, don't do this.
Oh,
this texter says, one time I messaged a girl to send me a picture of her.
No, come on, be careful.
But I texted the wrong girl. So did you get it or not? Don't do that.
The only thing worse than sexting is being bad at it.
If you're going to sext, how do you not triple check who it's going to? That I don't understand.
Check yourself before you sext yourself.
Well, you'd rather sext yourself than your wife's dad or the wrong lady. And I want to know who the lady was that was the wrong lady. I don't understand how these happen.
I just hope it wasn't like your sister or something.
Ew.
That would be awful.
Ew.
he sent it to his dad or his father-in-law. Be careful with what you're reading here, Ron. I don't trust you at all
to make good decisions. Don't you think I know about the FCC? I'm not going to say anything that I can't say. But some of our people have messaged in things that I definitely can't say. And I appreciate those, but you got to clean them up for us.
Why? This doesn't have to be about sexting. It could be about war plans.
Well, that's what the listeners...
It could be about your boss. Like, did you ever say, like, oh, what a loser? Like, oh, no, that's my boss. It doesn't have to all be sexy time. Get your minds out of the gutter.
Well...
Why don't you text war plans or something?
You mean, you're up, it's 12:30... in the morning, and you're thinking about a nice lady, and you get out the phone and you text her, strike drones on target. This is when the first bombs will definitely drop, pending earlier trigger based targets. F-18 second strike starts. Also, first sea based Tomahawks launched. And she says, Do you want a nudie? Or what is that? Are you asking me for a nude photo?
She responds with the prayer hands emoji. God willing.
What are these dummies doing?
Or like Michael Waltz texted, the fist, the American flag, and then a flame.
Here's a text message.
This is awful.
Here's a text message that says, is this really what cable has come to? Discussions on sexting? Really? What a tragedy.
This isn't cable.
I know. This texter is criticizing us. That it used to be the place to go for news, and they also happen to think this is cable.
I wish that were a voice message.
Appreciate the text, you doofus.
Well, we're
on cable now?
We're not talking about news anymore because it's depressing and divisive.
I'll tell you this.
It's very divisive.
If this was cable, I could say anything I want, and we can't get in trouble. Because cable... is not under FCC control.
I just can't believe we have like so many sleazy listeners. Come on, listeners. Stop.
Here's one before we go to break.
Oh my gosh.
A texter says, once I was texting my friend.
Oh no.
About how dumb my girlfriend was, and I accidentally sent it to my girlfriend.
Well, it sounds like he met his match.
Jennifer is so stupid. Uh-oh, I just sent it to Jennifer.
I don't know how to get out of this.
I would like to know, if you just sent that one, I'd like to know what your girlfriend did in response. Anyway, let us know if you have any messaging mishaps. Let us know if you're as incompetent as the Department of Defense. Let us know.
This is what happens when you stop talking about Trump.
Hey, you told us not to talk about Trump. This is what happens. 104.1 FM, KMOX.
You know, if you don't have something nice to say about a person, you really shouldn't text it, right?
Voice message from Marsha, and I think it's a nice sentiment, Marsha, but no. Texting is exactly when you say something bad about somebody.
You should never gossip unless you have names and details.
Right. And
never gossip in generalities.
Just know who you're messaging. That's all you have to do.
It's harder to do than you think it is, though. Listen, I know some people are excited that we said we're not talking politics anymore. We will occasionally talk politics. But you got to do that to make the non-political talk feel that much better.
Doesn't this feel better than that?
I think so.
I agree with you.
And it started with a political conversation, bombing the Houthis and telling Jeffrey Goldberg all about it.
a reporter who somehow hacked them.
Who is not Jonah Goldberg.
But then they had to admit that that is not what happened. They made a mistake.
They did. And they made a mistake and they admitted that it was classified. So we just thought, what are some personally classified information, some texts that you've sent to the wrong person?
And one messenger a moment ago told us that he sent or was trying to send to his friend a message about how dumb his girlfriend was.
Oh, yeah.
Yikes. And he accidentally sent it to her.
Ah.
And I wanted to know what her response was, and that texter says, she didn't figure it out because I didn't use her name specifically, point proven.
Somehow that's the best possible answer. Are you still with her?
Oh, I don't know. Yeah, are you still with her? Let us know.
Please let us know. He's texting, right? 314-436-7900.
Oh,
because I don't want him to be with it. I don't want him. She deserves better than to be with someone who thinks she's dumb.
How about this one?
Oh, no.
This might be the best one yet. Years ago, a senior executive where I worked meant to send an email to a person he was having an affair with. Instead, he sent it to a distribution list with hundreds of people. The email began, "Pumpkin." I love how are people so incompetent?
Hey,
come on. Well, I guess I did it too, but not like I didn't send that.
You can tell this story about your friend got the nickname Freeze Pops.
Oh, yeah. Tom Carroll, who used to work here in St. Louis as a producer, he's back at a sister station of ours in Boston, WEEI. His nickname is Freeze Pops because he accidentally sent an email to everybody in the company.
But wasn't the company?
I think it was the entire company, like all of Odyssey National, about how there were Freeze Pops in the freezer. And it went to everybody.
Like, we get emails. We get emails from people here locally that say, hey, you know, like we had an event, there are sandwiches in the refrigerator.
Yes.
And it only goes, right, to us here in this building. But he sent it nationwide.
To the whole company.
And there are popsicles in the freezer.
So his nickname was Freeze Pops. It was actually Bernie Miklas's producer.
That's right.
Yeah. Bernie, who is on KMOX now, and he's part of the Gas House Gang with us on Tuesdays and Thursdays. Mm-hmm. Gas House Gang goes from 12 until 1. Dude, you send an email to the company.
Yeah.
To an entire distribution list.
Says pumpkin.
Thinking you're talking to your mistress.
I think that is 100% karma, and I'm so glad it happened to him. Infidelity is wrong, so any bad thing that happened to him, I am super okay with.
You don't want karma to come get you, and the way that you can avoid it is by purchasing a table for the first pitch breakfast tomorrow.
Matt and I are here. We got one of the last romantic tables.
5 hours left to purchase a table for the first pitch breakfast with Vince Coleman and Tom Ackerman tomorrow from 8 until 10:30. Vince will be telling stories about the 1985 National League Championship team. You'll get food. You'll get bottomless mimosas and Bloody Marys and Budweiser. Tickets to the game on Saturday. So, and this mug.
The first ever 104.1 FM commemorative item.
That's right. 20% off tables right now, KMOX.com/events with the promo code KMOX. You have 5 hours to get yourself a table. Amy and I will be back with you tomorrow at 9.
Mm-hmm.
We'll be broadcasting live from Kegs and Eggs tomorrow. We hope you listen in 9 to noon tomorrow right here on 104.1 FM KMOX.